Welcome to a podcast of Aurelia Community Church, where we desire to bring the whole gospel to the whole person, to the whole world, proclaiming the liberating power of the gospel as we grow, serve, and go. Join us in this message as we look to the scriptures, seeking to be transformed into the image of Christ.
That's the type of therapy we use at OCC. No, it's not. But yet, that's often how we reduce things when we talk about, we were talking a little bit about anxiety this morning, and we address issues like that and simply say, stop it. You know, don't do that. I want to take us to 1 Peter chapter 5 this morning. We're going to walk through a large section of this passage of Scripture. And so Peter says in 1 Peter 5, and this is verse 5, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. Everybody over the age of 50, say amen. Everybody who's a parent of a young child, say amen. This is your verse, you know. You who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. Peter's a little older now, and he's got that senior citizen discount going on in this letter that he's writing. He says, all of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because, and here he quotes from Proverbs chapter 3, God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. Verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Verse 8, be sober, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're not alone. You're not the only one. You're not the only one who struggles. You're not crazy. It's a battle that we all face. It's fears that we all have to confront. And we go through this and we can go through it together. Verse 10, Peter says, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be glory forever and ever. And the church says, amen, amen. So we're going to think a little bit about anxiety this morning. And we're not dealing with clinical anxiety definitions and really complex anxiety, but more the anxiety that all of us come across. And Peter here is telling the church that he was writing to, the body of believers there, the people of God, who are under persecution and under attack at the hands of the Emperor Nero. And then he shifts gears. He's talked a lot about that in the opening chapters. And then he says, it's like the devil doesn't like you. He wants to use you like a target practice and bring you down as God's trying to raise you up. And so Peter says in verse 6, humble yourself under God's mighty hand. It's like he's saying, you know, don't get too big for your britches. Keep yourself low so God can raise you up. Peter is saying, the devil's after you. You have an enemy who doesn't like the passion you have for God, and he's after you. Your enemy, the devil, Peter says, roars like a lion. He's looking for someone he can eat alive, someone he can tear apart, someone whose future he can ruin before it has a chance to even get started. He's looking for a church family he can divide, for a nation he can divide, looking for an addiction he can plant in the heart of a 14-year-old so they never have a normal adult life. The devil's busy. He's active. And you don't have to be a preacher or a leader to have a bullseye on your back. And in fact, in your notes there, if you want to write something down, write this down. The birthmark of a believer is a bullseye. The birthmark of a believer is a bullseye. And Peter is here teaching us that we're born into, to use a phrase that he uses earlier in his letter, a living hope. We're born into a living hope, but we're also born into a struggle and a real battle. The day you become one with Christ, the day you begin that life of following Jesus, the enemy And I want to be careful here, because here's what we sometimes do. We get a little carried away with the stuff the evil one does. And we say things like, you know, I've been under attack lately, and I feel like the devil's after me. He's attacking me so much. And, you know, it's like my mom and my dad and my teachers, and everything is against me. And, you know, it's like my phone. I was charging it last night, and I know it charged overnight, but when I turned my phone on this morning, it was strained, and the devil's in my phone. No, the devil's not in your phone or your charger. You know, you didn't hook it up properly. Or people on my job, they hate me because I'm a Christian. I'm under attack. My boss doesn't like me. I'm under attack right now. No, you're not under attack. Maybe it's because you're underperforming. Your boss doesn't like the lousy job that you're doing. And you need to, if you're going to get paid X number of dollars, you need to do a job that's worth that much. There's times, those seasons, and we try to blame it on the devil. It's only believers who do that, because if you don't believe in God, you just simply say everything's falling apart or whatever, and things are under attack. And so you remember President Bush. He was reading to a class of elementary school students, and there's this famous picture up on the screen of him reading a book, and his chief of staff has to come to him and on 9/11 and say, a second plane has hit the tower. And his response was, America is under attack. We're being attacked. And what Peter is saying in this letter for 1 Peter, he's writing to a church, and he says, I want you to know that you're under attack. And not just pastors and preachers and leaders. You know, people sometimes come up to me and say, I'm praying for you, Mike. I know the devil wants to take you out. And sometimes I respond back, well, I'm praying for you, because the devil wants to take out mechanics and construction workers and grade 9 kids and stay-at-home moms and attorneys. He wants to take all of us out. He's prowling around, it says, like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Is he after you? Now, often he attacks us with those thoughts. Those repeat themselves over and over in our mind. Thoughts of worthlessness, thoughts of anxiety, and begins to just swirl in our minds. And that seems to be Peter's focus here. The attacks of the enemy so often manifests itself in the sense of anxiety. And we know that's the manifestation of the attack, because Peter says so clearly in verse 7, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. See, it's not an ambush. Peter says the devil is like a roaring lion. I mean, he gives a warning before the warfare begins. And sometimes we act so surprised that we have to go through struggles and we have to fight. We come into situations that they're harder than we expect them to be. And we ask God to do great things in our life, and the battle begins, and we act like we weren't warned. And Peter says, this lion, the devil, he's not silent. He's a roaring lion. The devil's all up in your face. He lets you know it's coming. And Peter says you need to know that you're under attack. He says when you find yourself in that season, when the roaring lion in your face, and you think Peter's going to say run. Because, you know, if I was confronted with a roaring lion, that's what I would do. I would run. I don't even like big dogs, you know. And when I'm out for a run, it's those little yappy dogs that drive me crazy. And some of you don't, you know, you didn't want to go into Theater 4 on Thursday night because there were snakes and spiders in there. Can you imagine being confronted by a lion? But Peter doesn't say run. Instead, he challenges us. He calls us to resist. And he calls us to resist, he says in verse 6, by coming under the mighty hand of God. And that's a very powerful phrase. It's used over and over again in scriptures. Humble yourselves, in verse 6 it says, therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. That's an image that would be very, very familiar to a Jewish audience. It was a mighty hand with an outstretched arm that God brought his people out of slavery from Egypt. It was a phrase that Mary used when she broke into song, when she was talking to Elizabeth after Jesus had been conceived. And Peter wants the church to know that same hand of God actively fulfills his purpose. Humble yourself under that mighty hand. God's hand, God's plan prevails. Even against our plans, even though we think we've got great plans, God's plan is greater. And God's hand is not like our hand. We don't always see it. We don't see what He's doing. But we know the effects of that when He's at work. And Peter says, and you know, I know what happens in the hand of God because I've seen it. I've been there. I've walked with Him. And Peter reflects on his experience with Jesus. You know, who better to describe the hand of God? You know, after all, John wrote in John 14, verse 9, anyone, recording Jesus' words, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And Peter didn't just see the hand of God at work. He saw the face of God. He saw Jesus. And so now he says to those who are under attack, those who feel anxious, to those who feel depressed, to those who deal with disappointment, who struggle with failure, or who are hitting rock bottom, who don't know what's next, who are freaking out, who are crying themselves to sleep at night, feeling all alone, he says, the mighty hand of God will lift you up. The hand of God is mighty. The hand of God is strong. The hand of God is over your life and will prevail. Prophet Jeremiah said, declaring the words of the Lord, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And if you find yourself under attack today, find yourself feeling anxious, you need to know that the hand of God is there to guide you and to lead you. And the same hand that split the sea so God's people could walk right through it, the hand of God will make a way. The hand of God will bring water out of a rock in a dry place. The hand of God is over your life and He has a plan. He has a plan. And who better to remind the church under attack the hand of God is working on somebody who was there when took some bread and some fish and multiplied it and fed 5,000. It's like taking them a happy meal and feeding the city of Aurelia. You know, it's that sort of image. Peter was there. He saw it happen. He put the bread in Jesus' hand. And you know, there are times when you're in a place of lack, a place where your provision is so lacking. It's not dependent on your ability to provide for yourself or to create resource for yourself. But what we place in God's hand, He will multiply. He multiplies what we place in His hand. And many of you, I know, have been through hard times in your life, but you've been in tight places. You felt like you were just running out of resources and energy, and you wondered how you were going to make it to the next day, but somehow the strength kept coming. Joy kept coming. A tomorrow kept coming in spite of your past. The hand of God is a hand of provision. It's a hand of protection. God has me in His grip. In Matthew 14, we have the story of Peter out there on the water. And he's trying to make his way to Jesus because Jesus invites him to come. And about the time he gets close to Jesus, he starts to sink. And sometimes it's just when we get to where Jesus wants us to get that we lose sight of things. And so it says in Matthew 14, when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. He's starting to sink, but he's not yet sunk. He's going down, but he's not out. The lion is prowling, but it's not prevailed. And then look at verse 31. It says, immediately. That's a key word in Matthew's gospel. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand. Immediately. Notice the construct of the passage. Jesus is not walking towards Peter. Peter is walking towards Jesus. And when Jesus sees Peter falling and hears him call, he reaches out his hand, and Peter is close enough to grab hold of Jesus' hand. The problem with some of us isn't that we're sinking. The problem with us is that we're not staying close enough to God to let Him grab hold of us. We tend to go off in our own direction rather than keep moving towards Jesus. God has us in His grip, in His hand of protection. As Peter says, yeah, we're going to suffer for a little while. But he doesn't say, we don't stay there. He's my God, and I'm in his hand. Peter says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. It doesn't matter how well you can walk on water. It matters how close you are to God's hand. It doesn't matter about your intelligence. It matters about your surrender. It doesn't matter about your ability. It matters about your surrender. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he'll lift you up in due time. He'll lift you up. He'll lift you up at the right time. He'll let you get low enough to know that you need him, and he'll lift you up high enough to let the world know he's with you. Look at verse 7. Casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That's how God wants us to live. Casting all of our anxiety on him. We can be under attack, but not anxious. One of the things that anybody in any sort of leadership position has ever struggled with is, do I have what it takes? And I'm not up here using you guys as a counseling appointment this morning. I don't want you to worry about me because I'm okay. I really am. Don't send me a bunch of emails saying, I'm praying for you, Pastor Mike. That's not the reason I'm telling you this. You know, I get a bunch of emails. I'll figure you guys have missed the point. You know, so I don't want a bunch of emails. I don't want cards and flowers or cookies or anything like that. Well, maybe some cookies. Oh, they're okay. I've had the privilege of pastoring for many years now. I've had the privilege of studying at University of Waterloo and OTS now Tyndale, and out at Regent College with some key leaders. OCC has been around for 20 years, and I've had the privilege of pastoring here for 11 of those years. But you know, sometimes when I stop and I look at our city and I look at the needs and the opportunities, I confess I get a little overwhelmed by all of that. You know, in your bulletin and on the slides this morning, we talked about Salvation Army Kettle and opportunity to minister at the Lighthouse and our hot chocolate thing coming up in a couple of weeks' time. And I connect with a whole bunch of things dealing with poverty around our city. And I wonder, do I have what it takes to continue to minister for the next 10 years? I'm returning to Ethiopia in February to teach for a couple of weeks at a Bible college in Bahardar. And then Gret wants me to come down and help lead some discipleship ministry training for a few days. And I met with Tricia and Benson from I Live Again Uganda this week. And they want me to come back to work with some pastors in the Acholi Quarter in Kampala. And it's just when you walk with God, he takes you places, you know, as a leader, as a minister, as a pastor, you feel those pressures and those struggles. And maybe you feel the same thing as a parent or in your business. But you get those anxious moments. You know, not stay in bed, cover your head with the covers type of anxiety or pop a bunch of pills type of anxiety. It's more that question, do I have what it takes? Is this as far as I can take people? Can I continue to lead? And that sort of stuff comes to my mind from time to time. And that's how I got to 1 Peter chapter 5. Because I know this scripture. And I love this scripture. You know, it's like David when he was going out to do battle with Goliath. He said, I can't fight Goliath in this armor. Give me my slingshot. Give me something I know, something I'm familiar with. And Peter says, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And that's Peter. Peter who fell asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was supposed to be watching Jesus' back. You know, Jesus came over to him and gave him two wake-up calls. And Peter hit the snooze button three times. You know, Jesus kept asking, are you still sleeping? And I look at how Peter in his passage tells the church to be alert. And then that phrase, to be alert, is often translated elsewhere in the New Testament as be prayerful. Be prayerful. And that's why, you know, the first Sunday of pretty well every month, we have a time to pray together and to share communion with each other. Let me really encourage you to be part of that. See, the enemy eats Christians who sleep in times of battle. We need to be alert to what's going on. We need to realize that the birthmark of a believer is a bullseye. The devil doesn't like it one bit when you're moving forward, walking in step with the Spirit of God.
So as I take this passage apart, because the Word of God really is what we need to live by. Not just something I preach about on Sunday, but something we live by. Look at verse 7. When anxiety attacks, casting all your anxiety on Him. And I was reading that, I was thinking, you know, Peter's a fisherman. And I wonder if he was picturing casting his nets over the side of the boat because Jesus tells him to. Sometimes anxiety in our lives is a result of our unwillingness to be obedient. Our unwillingness to do what Jesus asked us to do. So you remember the story in Luke 5. Jesus says to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. And Simon Peter says, Master, we've worked all night. We haven't caught a thing. But because you say so, we'll put down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. When he let down the nets, when we're casting our anxiety on him, you know, maybe you're here and you say, I've been trying to do it my way. I've been trying to handle it on my own, but I'm going to let down the nets. Let me back up a couple of verses. So 1 Peter 5, verse 5. All of you. That's what Peter writes. Not just to the leaders, not just to a few of you, but Peter says, all of you. Clothe yourself with humility towards one another. Because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. All of you, clothe yourselves. The word in the Greek that's translated as clothe really means to tie on, to tie like a servant's towel, like Jesus did at the Last Supper. He took a servant's towel and tied it around his waist when he realized that nobody was there to wash people's feet. And when Peter saw him tying on the towel, he said, don't tie on the towel, Jesus. You belong on the throne. But Jesus tied on the towel. And I wonder, as Peter reflects on that, he writes and says, clothe yourself in humility. And he's having a flashback of the Savior who laid aside all of his riches and glory and made himself nothing. Who was found in appearance as a sinful man and became a servant, humbled himself even to the point of death as he tied on the towel and washed Peter's feet. And Peter's response in John 13, verse 8 says, no, Lord, you can't wash my feet. And Jesus says, shut up, Peter. Well, that's not exactly the words it says. He says, unless you wash me, you have no part of me. It's the essence. You know, he did what he came to do. The Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And one of our problems as we open the Word of God is that we read our bits and pieces. We don't read the whole thing. And so when it says here in verse 7, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you, many of our English translations do a terrible job there because they put a period and then start a new sentence with cast. It's not. It's a comma. Humble yourselves, therefore. So here's the whole sentence, verse 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time, comma, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. To understand the essence and the profundity of the connection, we need to see it's all connected. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, so the proper time He may exalt you. Casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. See, we can't cast our anxieties on Jesus and hang on to our pride. Anxiety and pride come in the same package. If we insist on doing it our own way, then expect to feel the weight of the world on your shoulders. We can't do verse 7. Casting all our anxieties on Him simply because we decide to. God, take it off me. Take it off. I'm worried, God. Help me not to be worried anymore. Don't you care if we perish? Don't you care if we're drowning? Peter said. God said, I'm casting them. You know, look at that word anxiety. know, I tell God in my prayers, you know, I don't know if I can lead. I don't know if I have the ability to transcend culture and to be able to minister in Ethiopia and Uganda and to lead OCC the way you want to be led. I'm casting it on you, Lord. I'm casting it all on you, all my anxiety. And as I was praying that, the Lord spoke into my heart. This isn't an out loud conversation, so I'm not quite as crazy as you think I am. But the impression I got was the Lord saying, "Are you done now? Are you done now, Mike? Shut up and listen to me." And he pointed me to this word anxiety and how it's spelled in English. And this is I'm not talking about a medical condition. I'm not a pharmacist or a psychologist or a neurologist. But look at the very center of the word anxiety. And I'm saying, spiritually speaking, the Lord says to us, at the very center of our anxiety is our pride. And sometimes the reason we're so anxious is because we have us at the center. We can't sustain it because we're not meant to be there. It's like the Lord says, listen to your language. You know, I say, I don't know if I have what it takes. I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can accomplish it. It's I. I is the center of anxiety. I is right in the middle of the word pride. And sometimes the reason we're carrying anxiety that we can't get rid of is because we're carrying the weight of something we're not meant to bear. Humble yourself, Peter says, under the mighty hand of God. Because if you're weighed down with pride, you're going to be weighed down with anxiety. And God can't lift you up. And then God reminded me, don't worry about the next 10 years. Did you think you had what it take to lead the last 10 years? Cast your net on the other side. Casting all our anxiety on Him. See, it's not a command to cast our anxiety. It's a result. The command is to humble ourselves under His mighty hand. And when we do, the anxiety goes with the pride. If we get us out of the center and allow God to reign, and we lift up our hands to Him and say, "I need you, Lord. I can't step without you. I can't breathe without you. I can't eat without you. I can't pray without you. I can't parent without you. I can't preach without you. I can't lead this business without you. I can't work without you. I can't live without you. I have no peace without you. I have no joy without you." When we're in that place, God says, "Now I'm ready to lift you up." I knew somebody a few years ago who, over the course of about 2 years, lost 80 pounds or 36, 40, 40 kilograms. That's a lot of weight to lose. She had struggled with bad knees and a bad back for years, and would go to her doctor and complain about her knees and her back. And you know what? When the weight came off, the pain went with it. It wasn't her knees. It was her weight. And maybe the reason we're sometimes so anxious is because we're carrying the weight of pride. Maybe anxiety is the fruit, and pride is the root. And if you pluck it out by the root, then the fruit can grow. Get ourselves out of the center. And maybe you think, well, if I did that, now I would have to do some things different. And what if I look stupid? What would others think of me? How would others think about me? I've got some good news for you. Everybody else is thinking about themselves. They're not thinking anything about you. They won't even notice. But, you know, so who better to teach us about humility than Peter? He was sitting around the table having dinner with Jesus one time. This is in Matthew 26. And Matthew says, all of you are going to fall away. All of you are going to hit rock bottom. And sometimes the only way we ever find our foundation is when we hit rock bottom. And that's the best place to build from. It's the best place to lead from. It's the best place to be a better husband from. The best place to be a better wife, a better parent from. It's the place of, Lord, save me. And so Peter's sitting around the table with the other disciples, and he says, even if everyone else falls away, I will not. I'm hanging in there. And then Jesus says, before the rooster even gets his second crow out of his mouth, you're going to be telling people you don't even know me. And that's exactly what happened, isn't it? Jesus warned Peter of the attack. And sometimes we don't listen. We don't hear, and we're so surprised when it comes. We act like it's an ambush when it's normal. It's normal to be attacked. And Jesus told Peter, Satan has asked for you. He's asked specifically for all of you to sift you as wheat, to sort out what's real from what's not real. But I prayed for you, Peter. And you're going to fail, Peter. But I'm not. You're shaky at best, Peter. But I'm a solid rock at the bottom of your failure. And so now, decades later, Peter writes to the church, to a church under attack, and he says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. For your enemy, the devil, is like a roaring lion. He's looking for somebody to devour. He's looking for somebody he can shred to pieces with doubt and fear and selfishness and pride and anxiety. He's looking for somebody to get to turn their back on Jesus. And Peter says, this is a time of resistance. It's not a time to run. It's a time for you to resist. Yeah, he's a lion. And he might be licking his lips. And his fangs might be sharp. And he might have you in his fight. You might have failed. You might have done some things wrong. It might be going down. But you need to know one thing. Peter says, after you've suffered for a little while, God will step in and restore you and make you strong. He's a lion, but he's a lion on a leash. He can only go so far. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due time. I was preparing this morning. I was wondering, maybe this morning, this is someone's due time. Time when some things stop. Not stop it, like Bob Newhart said. But time where God begins to do some special things in your heart and in your life. And I sense this morning the hand of God reaching down for somebody. And you've been going down, but God wants to lift you up. Let's pray together. God, Father God, I thank you for your hand of favor, your hand of provision, your hand of protection, your hand of power, of purpose. So we humble ourselves under your hand today. We know the lion is loud. We know the suffering won't last forever. It's not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed. And so we look it in the face today, and we declare that the name of Jesus is greater. The name of Jesus is higher. You have all power in your hand. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to you. Now, I pray, Lord, you lift up your people. Lift up your people as we lift you up in this place. Lift up their heads, Lord. Dry their tears. Calm their hearts. Speak to the storm. We declare in the name of Jesus that trouble won't last always. The enemies we're afraid of today will be our testimonies in our tomorrows. And so, Father, as we reflect at who Peter was and what he said, and we can imagine as we read between the lines, he says, Peter is saying, I've been there. I've had me at the center. I failed so badly I didn't know if I could ever bounce back. I went back to my fishing business because I figured God didn't have any more use for me. But when I was going down, that's where I found his hand. That's when he reached out for me. Just when it looked like the lion had me in his sights, that's when the God of all grace and the God of all provision and the God of all power reached down and picked me up. Have you experienced that today? Call on his name, the Savior of the world. He is good. He is good. Amen. Amen.
We pray that God will use this message to strengthen your faith and draw you into a deeper relationship with Jesus. If you're interested in other sermons or want to know more about Aurelia Community Church, please visit our website at www.occweb.org.